Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Sorry I was missing Monday and Tuesday. Had somebody out at, you know, the quarry where I work and I make most of my money at right now. I mean, seriously, people, you get way more content. You guys did not support me enough when I came out of the box doing the show and stuff that I had to pick up a full-time job and stuff. Look, this is my passion. This is what I love doing, people. But I gotta make some money, man. Like, I've been chasing the radio dream for so long. You know, I talked to Soul Brother Kevin like 5 minutes before the show started. And he always said a great quote. He was like, man, Tuttle, I've never seen anybody love the business more than you love the business. Business don't love you as much as you love it. But you never, ever give up. I always go back and I'm doing the podcasts and stuff. Thank you. Fozzie says, side part, looking good, kid. Thank you, buddy. He also said, ain't no party like a part-time party. Woo woo. Yeah, you gotta bust balls. Fish on Jay, heading down to Miami right now, cuh. I'll tell Tua. I always have a hard time. Taga Lavoya, you said, what's up? Man, I'm excited about the Dolphins. I really, really, really am. You know, all through high school and everything, the closest when I was rooting for the Miami Dolphins, when they ever got to the Super Bowl, was the AFC Championship 93-94. And they got blowed out by the Buffalo Bills down in Miami. Well, we made the playoffs pretty much every single year. And it's just been all downhill. It is. And also at the same time, out of all the quarterbacks we've had between Dan Marino and Tua, Jay Fiedler is the best quarterback that the Miami Dolphins had in between Dan Marino and Tua. So, they got a bye week this weekend. So, I ain't got the Dolphins. The Gators play Vanderbilt. And then they go to Tallahassee to play the Florida State Seminoles. And I've had a lot of Florida State Seminole fans talking a lot of mad trash on my social media timeline and stuff. And I really don't get involved in that because that is a rivalry. That's a rivalry. Anybody can win any other time. But man, oh man, I hope Florida beats Florida State. I mean, I think they can do it. But who knows? You know what? What really, really has me worried is that FSU beat LSU at the beginning of the season. And I know that it was the first game of the season, so who knows exactly what happened? So, if you're just joining, welcome to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I love engagement. I love interaction. If you would like to call into the show, you can easily do that. 407-270-3044. You know what? I'm sorry. I got to jump in on this. I agree, Fozzie, if you will. Jay Cutler is great. I just love him for his personality. Cuddy, Fozzie says, love me some Cuddy. So just saying Cuddy because of Fozzie. Cuddy is a man's man. He is the frat bro dude, that stereotypical frat bro dude that you could think about. I remember they were doing an interview and they were like, hey, Jay, what's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? He was like, I got to take a piss. Who says that during an interview? I mean, it is the truth, but who really says, oh, yeah, what do you do in the morning, Jay? Oh, I get up and take a piss. Yeah. I mean, I love his candor. I really, really do. But like I said, if you guys want, yeah, burning heaters on the sideline too. Anybody that's going to burn heaters on the sideline is my guy. That's the way that I look at it. But once again, if you'd like to call in 407-270-3044, I read everybody's chats in the chat room and stuff. Or you can email me, Tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, Tuddle@gmail.com. So, I'm a little tired today. I'm really tired today. And the sad thing is that I did not even get to see the launch that I stayed up late for. I knew, I had a feeling that this was going to happen. Last night, Artemis 1 launched, which is the, well, until Elon launches his Starship that he has, that's going to be the biggest. And it will launch from Cape Canaveral, Kennedy Space Center. But they launched Artemis 1 today at about 2 o'clock. It was supposed to go up at 1. David Rivera coming in, super sticker, chatting $20. What up, my Marine friend? David Rivera coming in with the $20, Semper Fi. Thank you, my friend. So I've lived through this. I have lived all of my life. One of the first news stories that I remember. Big news stories, because I love big news stories. The first big news story that I remember is the Challenger explosion, the Challenger blowing up, and I've just always been into the space program. I even went out and saw the last space shuttle launch, which was Atlantis. Atlantis was the last space shuttle launch. And I went out and saw that. I just grew up around it. You could see it. I love the night launches. But Artemis 1 launched last night. And it is the biggest thing that we have ever launched in a space. And I missed it because I stayed up till about 10 till 1. And then they said, oh yeah, well we got a nitrogen or hydrogen leak or whatever gas. It's nitrogen. They had a leak, and I was like, "Yep, yeah, it's done. They're not launching it tonight." Because I said I was going to stay up until 1. Now it was an hour later. I went to bed, and guess what? Artemis woke me up. Artemis woke me up because this rocket, because I am about a little under 20 miles away from Cape Canaveral. This big ass bitch Artemis shook all the windows in the house, and I'm 20 miles away from it. And then when I woke up, but I had already missed it. But man, oh man, this is like NASA launched the sun into the sky.
Initiate 7, 6, 5.
Look at this.
Four stage engine start. 3, 2, 1. Boosters in ignition. And liftoff of Artemis 1. We rise together back to the moon and beyond.
Listen to the bass in that. Yeah, I mean, we basically launched the sun into space.
All four RS-25 engines on the core stage and two solid rocket boosters now propelling the vehicle at 128 miles per hour.
Can I be honest? They need to get better commentators that are doing the launch. I mean, what you need is some of these guys that do the NASCAR races or like the Triple Crown races, the Kentucky Derby. Because these people are just bland.
Harry, good control on the roll from teams in Mission Control Houston. All good calls so far. Now 30 seconds into the flight of Artemis 1.
Now, I don't think you guys realize this. This uses, yes, Fozzie, they need Joe Rogan to do the countdown. Yes, NASA has to market. Put Joe Rogan in there. But a lot of you people don't know. This uses a solid rocket booster. The same ones that were on the space shuttle. A lot of you guys don't realize this. If you're listening to the show right now, a lot of you don't realize this. Was once you light this candle, there is no turning it off. Once you light it, it's going to go until it runs out of fuel. That's just the way that it is. And I don't know how much control. I really don't think the pilots, because they do have pilots on these missions. This was unmanned. But I don't think their pilot really, really drives this when it's launching.
First milestone will be for the vehicle to pass through max Q at about 1 minute and 9 seconds into launch. This is the greatest period of atmospheric force on the rocket.
This, it shook the windows in my house, 20 miles away. This thing is getting it. So I wanted to play that for you, but I also wanted to play the news story. I wanted to play the news story because this is something that's been, you know, planned for quite some time. And NASA, you know, that's the other thing.
One.
Here we go.
Boosters in ignition. And lift
that's
off
a badass
of Artemis
shot.
One. We rise together back to the moon and beyond.
Roaring off launch pad 39B at the Kennedy Space Center, the next chapter in America's love affair with all things space.
You're looking at 8.8 million pounds of maximum thrust.
NASA's Artemis rocket, the most powerful...
Now, all right, do you guys know why it's called Artemis? It's called Artemis because Artemis... Fozzie says Artemis don't live. The reason why Artemis is, why they named this new rocket Artemis is because Artemis was the twin brother in the Greek gods of Apollo. So it's kind of like they're marking out to the Apollo mission. That's why they named it Artemis.
Ever built, headed for a 26-day uncrewed orbit around the moon. The liftoff at 1:47 a.m. coming after NASA had to scrub August and September attempts due to a bad sensor and a fuel leak. Then Hurricanes Ian and Nicole pushed the launch into November. Overnight, another fuel leak triggered a pause before...
Yeah, that is what I was... Now, think about this. They were talking about how they are sending out the red team. The red team is coming out. So the red team has got to go out there and tighten up the bolts on a rocket that is absolutely filled with a lot of nitrogen, liquid nitrogen that is highly flammable. And you're going to go out there and tighten up some bolts on a nitrogen leak.
Mission controllers gave the green light to continue.
I'm telling you, we've never seen such a tail of flame. This is just the test flight. And we are stressing it and testing it.
Man, Bill Nelson's got to be rich. This dude's been into space like twice. He's been a congressman all of his life. Now he's like the director of NASA. This guy's getting paid.
Ways that we will not do to a rocket that has a human crew on it.
Artemis is the twin Greek god of Apollo with perfect aim, a test flight before astronauts fly a crewed flight around the moon. And then in 2025 or later,
the Chinese of, I saw this, the Chinese sent back the first pictures of the dark side of the moon. Like, how come America didn't get the first pictures of the dark side of the moon? How come United Kingdom? I mean, we're talking about Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
A woman and person of color will climb inside the Orion space capsule and eventually land on the moon for the first time since 1972. The ultimate goal, build a lunar base and space station for future missions to Mars. Just like Apollo, the astronauts on Orion will lift off on their backs, but there's 30% more room inside Orion than Apollo, which means there's room for four astronauts instead of three. Now, right over there is a retractable rowing machine for exercise, and right there is a commode. Orion's return will also look like Apollo, but re-entering the Earth's atmosphere hotter and faster, parachuting into the Pacific Ocean.
Coming in hot. Coming in hot.
Splashdown for this mission, set for December 11th off San Diego. And that is a critical part of this test.
My dad actually worked on some upgrades on the vehicle assembly building that you see in the background there. It's not the tallest building in Florida, but it is, by volume, the biggest building. You know, it doesn't do it anymore, but when they first built it, this building, it would actually rain. It almost had its own atmosphere, the VAB.
That heat shield underneath the Orion spaceship, it's got to work because they're going to hit 5,000 degrees temperature on re-entry. That is half the temperature of the sun. You guys, back to you.
Wow. And Tom, this is kind of weird, but we hear that there are mannequins inside the spaceship. Is that right?
Test mannequins, test dummies. One of them is kind of mimicking, or will kind of take readouts, if you will, on the G-forces that a human will feel when they're inside the Orion spaceship. And then they've got two female dummies. Really, it's just...
Why? This is the one part of the story that kind of had me a little bit confused. Why a female dummy? I mean, it's not an actual female. How's a female dummy going to be any different than a male dummy? And bet your ass that they put some organic matter into the Orion space capsule that was on top of Artemis. I would not be surprised if they did not put a dog or a just some type of mammal that they put in that capsule, because they want to test to see if any radiation or anything that's going to get into that capsule. How do you do that? Do a lot of you guys not know this, but when they brought back the moon rocks, and I know a lot of people don't believe we actually landed on the moon and stuff, but when they brought back the moon rocks, they actually put rats in a containment, like, box with those moon rocks just to see if it was going to kill rats. So bet your ass they sent a live animal up in this Orion space capsule.
The waist up, but that's a radiation test to see how much radiation exposure will individuals get when they're inside Orion. So three test dummies, again, as I mentioned, four people will be in there eventually, but three test dummies right now to give NASA a good sense of what it will be like to be on board Orion in a real mission within 2 years or so.
Yeah. Fozzie said, why not black dummies? I mean, it's the same thing as why would you say, oh, we put female dummies up there from the waist up. All right, so I want to talk about this story because it's kind of near and dear to me because I covered the Casey Anthony trial for Bubba the Love Sponge. And Casey Anthony, say what you want. Did she most likely do it? Yes, she most likely did it. But guess what? In the eyes of the law, she's innocent. She can never, ever be tried for her crimes, even if they came out and they proved that Casey Anthony killed Kaylee. They just cannot. But I know the ins and outs, every little bit of the Casey Anthony trial. And now she's got a documentary that she's a part of. That is on NBC. That's on Peacock. And I know a lot of people, oh, I'm not going to watch it. Oh, there's no way. I'm not going to watch a documentary with Casey. You know what? You're a goddamn liar because guess what? I'm going to watch it.
First time on camera, Casey Anthony, the woman infamously accused and later acquitted of murdering her own daughter, Kaylee.
As to the charge of first-degree murder.
Let's be honest. Even though she most likely killed her kid, we all would. And I mean, any guys that are in the chat room right now, I would love to. Even if you're with somebody right now and you're married, if you were single and, you know, those 30 days after Kaylee had died and she's out at the bars partying and she's on the pole acting like a stripper and stuff, and you're out in downtown Orlando, which is where she was, you're a goddamn liar if you can't admit that you would have been like, hell yeah, I would love to hook up with her.
Not guilty. Casey's never told her story.
Is now addressing lingering questions more than a decade after that not guilty decision.
911, what's your emergency?
My daughter's been missing for the last 31 days.
Including why it took a month to report Kaylee's disappearance and what happened on the last day she saw her daughter.
The only person in this world that matters to me still is my daughter.
I gotta tell you, Casey. I mean, look, guys, it's been 10 years since the trial. And Casey is held up. Casey is holding a little strong. No, Baez did not. If any of the lawyers were hooking up with Chaney Mason, look, nobody knows this trial more than I do. I spent about 3 weeks every single day going over every single piece of this stuff. Chaney Mason, she'd been living with Chaney Mason. She has. And now she wants to be a photographer / private investigator now. But I mean, I think Casey's holding up pretty well.
But I'm still defending the fact that I didn't hurt her.
In a three-part limited series, Anthony blames her father, George, for the tragedy.
I feel bad for George. Do I think maybe George had something to do with the cover-up? Maybe. But, I mean, who knows? Who knows? Maybe Casey, I mean, that's the thing about our justice system. We just don't know. Maybe Casey is being completely honest and we really, really don't know. But what does not look good is that you were out partying for those 31 days. You were going out to all the clubs. And I was in Orlando around that time. I know every single club that Casey went to. So yes, it looks bad. Do I think Casey was good? I don't know. In my opinion, no. If you're a mom and your daughter's missing, you're not going out. Well, maybe. I don't know. She was young.
Tragic death, alleging that he staged Kaylee's drowning in order to cover up that he might have been abusing his granddaughter. She tells Peacock, owned by NBC Universal, which also owns NBC News, that the day Kaylee disappeared, she actually fell asleep with the 2-year-old child in her arms.
I don't know. I mean, I've never been a parent, so I really can't. I just know, like, I don't think I could ever sleep with the kid. If I had a kid, no, my OCD, ADHD, I would never be able to sleep if I ever had a kid.
Only to be awakened by her father, later holding the lifeless child. In the series, Casey says, she was soaking wet. I can see him standing there with her in his arms and hand her to me and telling me that it's my fault, that I did that I caused that. But he didn't rush to call 911, and he wasn't trying to resuscitate her.
I mean, Fozzie said, I think George banged Casey. Once again, I can't say that it is a definite. But I don't think George did, but there is some type of a little bit of a weird dichotomy in that family. But a lot of this just does not make any sense.
For 31 days, Anthony says she thought her daughter was alive and well while she stayed.
Okay. That is the main reason why nobody believes her. Seriously, who thinks that if this story that you're telling, you wake up after your daughter had been sleeping on your chest or in the chair and you fell asleep, then you wake up and then your dad is holding your child that's soaking wet, and then you don't see her for 31 days, and you're telling me that you thought she was alive, and you went out and partied, and you didn't ask any questions, or you did not, like, demand to see your kid. This is why everybody thinks this bitch is guilty.
With a boyfriend.
She was perfect.
I mean, Wags, I mean, that's kind of stiff, but I agree with you. Overturn Roe v. Wade. No problem. Date Casey Anthony. All right, guys. I am a sucker for a female with glasses on, especially if they're big and thick and they're turtle-shelled like Casey's wearing. I'm sorry. I don't think Casey Anthony has ever looked hotter than what she does right there with those glasses on. Those glasses, Jesus Christ. And you could tell she's probably getting some filler in the lips. Her eyebrows are on fleek. Yes, I'm telling you right now, even if she killed her kid, and I knew it, and let's be honest, if I was at a bar in Central Florida, I don't drink anymore, or say restaurant, and Casey Anthony, kid, or I saw her, I'm going to shoot my shot. At least I'm going to go up and talk to her. Yes, I want to lay several ropes on the left lens, right lens, chin, nose, forehead, rope all day. But I would have to go talk to her. And I'm telling you right now, I would not care. I would not care one single bit. If I was dating Casey Anthony, I would go out. Matter of fact, bet your ass, I'd go all over the place. I got my concealed carry. Casey, I'll protect you. I got you. Let's go out. Let's go down to Orange Avenue. Let's go to Church Street. Let's go down there. Let's go to Wall Street Market. Let's hit the town, Casey, in Orlando. Nobody's going to mess with you. I got you, baby girl. Casey. Casey, give me a call, Casey. Those glasses, holy crap.
But back in 2011, Anthony's defense team telling a different story, arguing in court that Kaylee was not killed, but drowned in the family pool. And after the child was found, he helped
And we all know, crazy as lightning in a bottle. It is.
Dispose of the body in order to cover up the death, something George Anthony repeatedly denied during testimony. Casey Anthony now admits she lied about a host of circumstances to police as a consequence of a fractured family life and a father who lawyers accused of sexually abusing her for years.
I lied. But no one asked why.
George.
Oh, crocodile tears.
Anthony also vehemently denied those abuse allegations in court and has never been charged with any crimes related to them. He has not responded yet to our new request for comment on the documentary as one of the most controversial trials in recent memory.
You do everything in your power to protect your daughter.
Deepens with another voice and another chapter.
And Casey Anthony was convicted of several charges, including lying to police for...
Oh, something's happening. Is my audio okay, guys? I gotta check that. Doesn't seem like the voice was kind of matching up there. Gotta check that out. Give me one second. Stand by. If you're just joining me, you are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I just want to see how it sounds. Something's happening. Oh, it's not.
Is my audio
okay, yeah, it's guys? Working. All right, there we go. All right, so I got one last story I want to talk about. Here, I want to hear. Do you guys want to talk about, you know what? I'm not talking about politics. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about this, even though it happened over the weekend. I want to talk about this Dallas air show. I do not go to air shows. I've gone to them before when I was younger and I really didn't have much of a choice. But I just don't go to them because, here, I remember when I was working on Bubba's show, the Reno. You remember when they were having the Reno races out there with the racing? With the airplanes, the Red Bull stuff. So, that guy nosedived right into the crowd. You know how many YouTube videos I've seen of people at air shows where the plane just crashes into the crowd? What if the pilot that was operating that plane at an air show just had a bad day? What if the pilot just had a bad day, found out that his chick was cheating on him, or his mom or dad died, and he's flying the plane, and he's just like, you know what? It's just not worth it. I'm going to nosedive this right into the crowd. What do I care? I'm going to be dead. And then you just have the accidents alone, and this is exactly what happened.
This morning.
Also, the other thing that pisses me off, and I know that it is their sandbox. I'm not going to be one of those people that are going to bitch about getting censored on social media, but I had a video. It had like 10,000 views because once this happened, I posted the video on TikTok and everything. None of the other social medias banned the video except TikTok. TikTok did, and I've seen this plane video over TikTok, no matter what. And probably somebody just got offended, even though this is the news. News showed this on broadcast TV, and I got banned. I didn't get banned on TikTok, but the video got kicked off.
Investigators poring over a horrific play-by-play. Two vintage planes caught on video colliding in midair before falling in a fight.
Look at all that. And I know that there's pictures. Do you think in this video right now, you see all this debris falling? Is any of those black spots falling a body? or body parts in general? Are we looking at somebody falling to their death in the air? I don't know.
Fiery crash.
I would think so.
Are you serious?
The collision causing both aircraft to break apart seconds before bursting into flames on impact. Investigators with the NTSB spent Sunday at Dallas Executive Airport searching the crash site for any clues that could explain what caused the deadly crash.
Five crew members of the B-17 and the pilot of the P-63 were fatally injured. Neither aircraft was equipped with a flight data recorder.
Well, I know that they said that they're not by law supposed to have. Why not though? Why aren't all planes, no matter what, have some type of recorder that is going to let you know exactly what happened?
Or a cockpit voice recorder, often known as the black box.
The Boeing B-17 Flying Fortress and a Bell P-63 King Cobra, part of the Commemorative Air Force Wings Over Dallas show. Both flying low in what organizers call a standard maneuver, bombers on parade. J.P. Santiago.
Bombers on parade. It reminds me of Bulls on Parade.
I go watch the tragedy in real time, standing next to his son.
I think there was a collective moment of shock where we didn't know what.
You go to air. Isn't it kind of like NASCAR? I'm just being honest. A lot of NASCAR fans go to watch NASCAR races, hoping that there's going to be a wreck. You know, and a lot of people would not admit it, you know that there are some people that go to these air shows hoping and praying to see something like this.
To say or what to do.
He's one of hundreds of witnesses now wondering how tragedy struck an air show that flies all over the country.
From all the videos, the fighter appears
out of position. McDonald's got some free advertisement there. Look at that. Hold on. Look at this.
Appears to be out of position and moving quickly.
Oh, no. Hold on. Watch.
And
yeah, McDonald's did get.
Now
yeah,
wondering
look at that.
How tragedy struck an air show.
Golden Arches. Right there. Boom. Can't buy that type of free promotion.
That flies all over the country.
From all the videos, the fighter appears to be out of position and moving quickly and maneuvering in an area where you normally would not be maneuvering if you were in formation with a bomber.
Among those who died, Army veteran and former longtime American Airlines pilot Terry Barker, who was on board.
You know, Terry banged some stewardess. You know, Terry, look at that mustache. You know, Terry banged the drink cart lady. You know he did.
The B-17 Flying Fortress. Those who knew him say, he flew to honor the greatest generation. Ohio's Wing Civil Air Patrol confirming Major Curtis Rowe was lost, adding his service spans over 3 decades, where he held every aircrew rating possible.
All the pilots are vetted very carefully. Many of them have been flying for us for 20, 30 years or longer. Great.
I bet they had a beer garden. And the green. No, I'm not going to.
Aircraft, they're safe, they're very well maintained, the pilots are very well trained.
Now, pilot experience will be just one of the factors the NTSB will be looking at. They also want to see if they can recover.
I mean, let's be honest, Denzel Washington, did you guys ever watch that movie with I think it was called Flight or something? Remember where Denzel turned the plane upside down and landed that bitch on its back or whatever, or landed on its belly? Denzel was doing some rails, some liquors out of the drink cart. But guess what? He still saved all this. I know some people died, but it's not like the whole plane went down in flames when Denzel landed that bitch right down.
Any of those audio recordings from the air traffic control to those planes involved, as well as examine the maintenance records for those aircraft. And important to note here, while neither of those planes had those black boxes, neither of them were federally required to do so.
All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'm going to be back Friday. close out the week strong. Gonna get out of here. Hopefully you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.